You're listening to 17 Karat K-Pop. For more about this show, as well as my other podcast, How to Stan, visit 17karatkpop.weebly.com. There you'll find episode guides, as well as additional reading, more exclusive content, tons of great stuff. And never miss an update, an album review, interview, etc. by subscribing to the free newsletter, howtostan.substack.com. You could also become a paying subscriber on Substack, and that means you're supporting an independent creator and become part of a community. howtostan.substack.com. Enjoy the show! Hi everybody, welcome back to 17 Karat K-Pop. Time for your monthly roundup of the best new music. I think I'm going to spend a little more time than usual on my honorable mentions, because I have so many. It was so hard to narrow down, even more than usual hard to narrow down, the top 20, let alone rank them. So stay tuned, a ton of your faves who didn't make the cut in the top 20 surely got an honorable mention. And I also will keep some top 20 release conversations quite short because several of the releases on this top 20 list I actually already dedicated episodes to, so I'll just redirect you to where you can hear more of my thoughts on those releases. Alright, without further ado, let's get to number 20. For Eve, Boucha. Boucha is a cool follow-up to Exceptional, which I really raved about in my Best of May episode, I believe. Exceptional was more about self-love when it comes to not letting society put stereotypes, labels on you, refusing to let others define you. Boucha also leans into that theme of, I don't need a man to make me feel whole, but now it's more overt. Less about learning to love yourself outside of social expectations, but more about the time to do that is now. Now this song stresses the urgency. No hesitation, close the books. I have no time to be thinking about ya. It's got a really catchy chorus that sticks in your head all day long, fair warning. They have a cool, impressive, synchronized dance routine. And I love a self-referential moment because Exceptional plays at the start of the music video. That's their background music as they're having just a hangout session. Nicely done. I will also say the big bedroom they hang out in and ruin that poor Ken doll in, really HGTV worthy room. No, that's not the point, but just saying. 19. Yeontak, MMM. Triple M stands for Manners Maketh Man, which I thought was cool. And he's got this suave look in the video, big smile on his face, theatrical energy. Truly, I surprised myself by how much I like this album. Because he is a trot artist, but this is so much more than a trot album. Lots of songs on there, I think just general down-the-middle pop fans will like. The title track too, even. There is this orchestral drama sometimes, like in the opener, The Wall. But then there are just lower-key songs backed by playful guitars, Shatter, Spaceship, Second Chance. What Happened is a personal favorite of mine. That one is extra lively. And it's interesting because the album kind of tells itself to dial it down a bit, and by the end kind of calms down and goes into romantic and more piano-focused territory. 18. T.O.1, Why Not? There is just something indescribably special about this group because they keep coming back. Truly, in such a cutthroat industry, when one hiccup could deter your whole career, it's kind of a miracle that change after change, from management changes to member changes, so many hurdles, but time after time they keep coming back. And that is very impressive, especially in an industry that is quick to just move on and not give you time to get a second chance. But they've had many chances, and this new release shows why. They just have this really cool energy to them. I don't remember a really prominent drumline marching band-inspired K-pop comeback since After School with Bang, so that's a while. It's been too long, I was missing that, and we have some of that, although with their own spin on it here. Drummin' is this funk pop jam. Shout out to Chan and Jayu, who worked on the raps. More of my favorite raps, mixed with some unexpected instrumental accompaniment on What a Beautiful Day. And another standout, the very layered Sugar Shock. 17, say the name 17, Winner, Holiday. Man, I missed Winner, and they really brought the energy. I'm so glad instead of so-so, they went in the direction of really, you know what I mean, when it comes to their past comebacks. We needed another light summer jam from them. And Holiday delivers. They are so likable, and that is so evident in the video for I Love You, which is kind of a movie within a movie, a video within a video, as they comically try to put on their own movie, romance story. And they knew what the world needed. The four-leaf clover representing this era, the way they viewed this as an essential thing for them to do. You know, Yoon said something really interesting about this release. Quote, "While it's easy to say I love you, the world has become such a rough place for love to be expressed. We wanted to say through it that, even in such a world, we'll shout out love more loudly," unquote. He also really had an artful way of putting it, talking about how this is kind of phase two of the existence of Winner, but that it's anything but an ending. It's just that their paths sometimes diverge, but their paths always come back together at some point. And this is another one of those intersections. Shout out to Yoon also for his overall album production credit. He also helped write all the tracks alongside Hoonhee and Minho. The title track was actually worked on by Lee Chang-hyuk of Akmu and Bae Yidam of Treasure. And apparently, according to Yoon, the new YG Entertainment headquarters building makes mingling among artists, networking, collaborating way easier than it used to be. So note that for the future. There are a lot of funky details throughout the song 10 Minutes, which Becca Boom actually worked on. More layers to Holiday. Sweet Home is my favorite. Yoon really shines. And Minho's rap is the cutest on Family. Little Finger is an interesting one, because it's kind of a subgenre of pop hybrid. It's a great showcase for Yoon's vocals again, and it's kind of just an interesting summery song. More energetic than a pop ballad, but not so much a typical tropical bop either. 16. ITZY, Checkmate. I just love their confidence. They really just have empowering anthem after empowering anthem, and this album is full of more just unapologetic bangers. About I know what I want, I know what I deserve, I know what I can do, don't judge me, don't stop me, don't you dare try to mess with me. Just love it so much. And they show once again that they feel up for anything, not just sonically because they do kind of experiment across these tracks, but also visually. In the sneakers video, they take on a bunch of different tasks, a bunch of different jobs, and nail it with their signature fierceness. I also love the consistency of their crown pose. Love that they keep showing that off. 15. Hyena na Bolera, which is a Korean phrase for fly like a butterfly. Get it? Looking fly like a butterfly? You know, it's interesting because while doing press for this album, Hyena's opened up about how her smile during the past eras, like I'm Not Cool, was part of her act, and she wasn't genuinely that happy and feeling confident. But now she is, and her smile's genuine. Another thing I love that she said in this press round has been, quote, "A dream is something that you want to continue doing, and what I can never lose is the stage. A goal is something you want to achieve, but I've achieved everything I wanted to," unquote. Love that attitude. A dream is what you want to keep doing, not what you feel like you have to pursue in the future. And a goal is more about a specific achievement. I don't know, there's something about that wording that just left me in thought. She insists Psy deserves the credit for the song Na Bolera, giving her a key lyric because he actually sent her an idea for the lyric, "Just because I'm your babe doesn't mean I'm yours." I also love the lyric about, well, it references two of her past songs actually, "Left a message with my red lipstick. I see a bubble, then I pop it with my edge." I also love the lyric, "I wouldn't change a thing if I'm born again." Because there's a double meaning there about believing in fate, that everything happens for a reason, but also a butterfly is like being born again out of its shell. And why would you change that? You're supposed to spread your wings. She said Watch Me is a song she made as kind of a thank you to her stylist, showing off her more vulnerable side, fear of being left alone, and thanking her stylist for sticking around. She also gets more vulnerable on Bad Dog, which was co-composed and co-written by her fiancé Dawn. It sounds somewhat similar to me to D-Day by Wee-In. But then there's Whatever, which goes back to her more spontaneous, carefree air that people know and love. Fun quick art lesson that came to mind when I saw the track list, and it includes the song Picasso and Fernand Olivier. He painted over 60 portraits of her. She was also popular as a model for other artists, too. They actually were kind of dating, but it was a very volatile relationship. They both got jealous of each other a lot and hot-headed, and they actually attempted to raise a kid together, but it was such a short period of time, was not working, and had her sent back to the orphanage. And Fernand wrote a memoir called Picasso and His Friends, which was going to give tons of tea about Picasso. But then Picasso, of course, tried to legally block it from being published, It did end up being published, actually, but years after both of them died. Anyway, they have a really interesting history, relationship-wise and just art career-wise, the role they played in each other's lives. Makes for an interesting song for sure. Paints it, pun intended, in a different light. Anyway, this release is really a colorful, interesting one. That reminds me why Hyuna, in a great way, continues to be the Lisa Frank of K-pop. 14. Stacy, We Need Love. Fun fact, this actually almost went to Sistar, but it went to Stacy, and I could see that either way, but I do think Stacy added something irreplicable to it. I like how each Stacy comeback so far has highlighted a different reason to check them out. So with So Bad, it was their attitude. With ASAP, it was their fun, easy to copy dance. With Stereotype, it was more aesthetics. Here, it's more about letting their vocals really shine. And the side of them appears brand new with the cute new animations, beautiful dresses. They just have a whole new look and feel to their work while they sing a song with a newfound level of maturity and emotional introspection about how someone is perfect for you and bad for you at the same time. 13. P1 Harmony, Harmony Zero In. I talked about this release a ton on the episode called P1 Harmony Story. There's also a write-up I did on my site now about this new release. 12. Alexandros. But wait, cats? This J-Rock group's album is as funny as that album name, and their main song from it, We Are Still Kids and Stray Cats, equally funny but also kind of deep. And you see that in the visual too, with the man with a TV for a face, in the alley, confronting these cats. It's a whole thing. Hard to explain, but it's really thought-provoking. And especially because it feels purposely bizarre and disjointed. You'll see what I mean. The whole album is like a house party. It has that booming bass, but it's also a rock album, and it's very impressive and cohesive. 11. Zico, Grown Ass Kid. Man, I miss Zico. Really missed him. He adds something so special to the world of Korean music, K-R&B, K-rap, whatever you want to call it. And I love his attitude in interviews, where he doesn't give the generic expected response of like, I want to try expanding my sound next time. Honestly, he's just been saying stuff like, no, I already did everything. I checked off every box. I don't feel like doing that. This is just me. And he has this really appealing, to me, you know, likable, just boldness in his vision, sureness in it, in this album. And it's really no skips. Really full of just impressive rapping and singing. Tons of busy instrumentals. So listening to it just is time that flies by. I think the most distinct from the other songs, and worth your time, if you only check out one, besides Soul Drift, is Nocturnal Animals. It's an alt R&B track that is about deep stuff, struggling financially, feeling unsatisfied after a hard day's work, but it's just very catchy and distinct. Zior Park is a really interesting feature. Very, very unique voice. 10. AT's The World, Episode 1, Movement. That I dive into at length on a very recent episode called AT Story Updates. 9. aespa, Girls. I talked about this release and what makes this new era so exciting for their work on an episode of the show called aespa and Kwanya Guide Volume 2. And then, of course, there's aespa and Kwanya 101. The OG story is discussed there. So I won't say too much more here, but I will say, I kid you not, even my dentist knows who they are now. Not because I told him, he just knows. They have been everywhere, their marketing is so good this year, and they really are just thriving. Again, as I've said before on the show, I truly think, I don't like to compare groups and say this is the next Blackpink or whatever, but I do think they could reach Blackpink level fame. They are well on their way. I can picture a lot of young people really making this a staple in their playlists, making memories, having girls' night outs rocking out to this music. But not just in a group, you can enjoy this music alone too, and check out the very cinematic world building they're doing. The visuals that go with this new era really are dramatic. But then if you prefer just light and fun pop songs about friendship and girl power, then the album itself is for you. So there's something for everyone. 8. Chunha, Bare and Rare, Part 1. She actually admitted that previously she didn't write her own songs. Now she finally has started to write and produce, and did so for every track on this album. But before, she admits she didn't. I think she did a great job. There's the sweet ode to her mom. Goodnight, My Princess is dedicated to her. Her more mature side is shown off on songs like XXXX, Quadruple X. Synth pop fun we've come to expect from her is the focus of California Dream. Another highlight is Love Me Out Loud, because I think that one would sound the coolest live. And the video is just so cool to see, beyond aesthetically pleasing. It's like the Little Mermaid musical times 10. It's a gorgeous undersea princess castle world. Lots of color, lots of sparkle. For a song called Sparkling, it's perfect. And it's a feast for the ears too, not just the eyes. It's got a catchy whistle for a hook. It's very lively. 7. Perfume, Plasma. They really have such longevity and global appeal. Compared to a lot of J-pop acts, they truly have broken through globally, and giving this album a try will show you why. They have this future-focused pop sound. That's how they describe it, futuristic pop, where they're always experimenting in new pop and electronic directions. They have really interesting, quirky, layered work, and they continue to release one-of-a-kind bops. Every song on their album could have been a single. It has that potential. Plasma really sets the album of the same name up for a dramatic, interesting mood. There are lots of vocal changes throughout, some electric guitar riffs, quickening paces that only slow down super relatively. There are more straight-up EDM sounds, more city pop vibes, different tempos, different sound effects, different instruments, different deliveries. It's a variety pack for pop and electropop enthusiasts. And it fittingly ends with Sayonara Plastic World, which ends kind of like having the feel of a movie ending credit scene. Not with a bang, but not with a whimper either. Kind of a proper send-off for a group whose story is never over. A group that keeps you guessing. They add to the lore of their fictional origin story too, describing their personas as, quote, living in the loop. It's like a parallel world, a fiction, in which you're chasing the past, unquote. They also add to their persona, playing up the part, as they act like wind-up toys in the video for Spinning World. 6. 17. Sector 17. This repackage, I broke down what makes it so impressive and cool and interestingly connected to previous eras, full of Easter eggs and stuff, full of deeper meaning than it sounds. At first, it's a layered release. To know what I mean, I broke it down in a piece on my Substack, howtostand.substack.com. It's also on the 17 page of 17caratkpop.weebly.com in the drop-down menu under episode types. Go to 17 Talk. Anyway, I broke down 17 things to note about Sector 17. Really well done. 5. Purple Kiss, Geeky Land. Look, I love a very classic summer vibe K-pop comeback as much as the next K-pop fan. Nothing wrong with a very classic summer comeback. But there is something to be said for the groups who refuse to just sort of check off that box. Yep, did a typical summer comeback and just stick to their aesthetic year-round. And Purple Kiss did that, giving us Halloween and summer, they don't care. Spooky vibes, year-round. More violins, more orchestral drama, mixed with spooky but funny, quirky hijinks. Love the detail of the building they're outside of having a neon sign that says exceptional broadcasting on it, but at the end all the letters burn out except the ones needed to spell out nerdy. The song is a bop, all of them are. The best, I think, and ironically liveliest, is called Love is Dead. This bewitching fun is not the only thing to enjoy, though. You can appreciate their over-the-top fun antics and just their stripped-back raw talent, because I love, love, love the highlight medley. They interjected typical sampling of different clips of songs from the album with a cappella segments. So as you listen to the studio version, you also get a taste of the a cappella version of each song. Really gain some respect for their vocal skill. Just pure skill. Unfiltered, totally distraction-free, paying attention to their voices. Wow, they amazed me. And I viewed them as more exceptional in the realm of dancing, but this really helped me gain appreciation for their singing voices too. 4. Extraordinary Heroes, Hello World. I was very, very impressed and pleasantly surprised with how much I liked this. This group is really on my radar. I think they're ones to watch. I love their message. It's kind of like Stray Kids' Ordinary era, where it's about, we all have the odd in us, but it can become our superpower, and it makes us extraordinary and ordinary. We are more alike than you think, but also all superheroes in our own rights. Love the fictional universe they inhabit. The world building expands quite a bit with this really interesting kind of Disney movie-esque plot. They're in a battle of the bands. It's them against the Roboctopus. There's the Funs and Cozy team, BCDE, Metallica, a March Madness competition of bands. And they are automatically disqualified for an unfair reason, but they find a way to rig the game back in their favor. And it's all a very interesting premise, not just because it's quite kooky, but because of the words appearing on the screen at the beginning that then the viewers sit with throughout the video. Which is, quote, "If you rig a rig system, are you a villain or a hero?" Unquote. And that's what they're trying to do, rig a rig system back in their favor. Does that make them heroes or villains? Really thought-provoking stuff. The album title, Hello World, was actually inspired by the term when you're learning a new language that pops up first in computer programs, like a sample sentence. So they kind of have some robot sci-fi incorporated into their work as well. And as for the album itself, really great songs that cover a really wide variety of rock sounds. 3 N-hyphen Manifesto Day 1. I talked about that at length in the episode called Manifesto Day 1 Deep Dive. 2 J-Hope Jack in the Box. I will be honest, this took some time to grow on me and appreciate fully, because I truly at first was a little just thrown and needed to get used to it because I loved Hope World. First of all, it was a great name for an album. Second of all, it just felt like it matched his personality. So bright, cheerful, colorful, Dr. Seuss-esque, that to see him go full grime, that just really, really threw me. It took some time to get used to. But the more I think about his album, the more I realize this actually isn't just him out of the blue changing. That this is still very J-Hope, and that it is his story, but painted in a new light now, that's really interesting. I'll write about this a lot more on my corresponding write-up with this episode, but the album really draws an interesting contrast between Jack and Hope. Those are like the two alter egos, I guess you could say. And he's trying to find his way as Jack out of the box, hence the album title, but he has to remember that while he's in the box, before he gets out, he has to find the hope at the bottom. Because hope at the bottom of the box is the overlooked, forgotten part of the Pandora's box story, that underneath all the horror she unleashed was hope. In hindsight, Blue Side actually sounds like an outtake from Jack in the Box. He also shows its classic J-Hope with the way this album is driven by the hip-hop influences he was known to be inspired by in his early trainee days. And of course, his classic messages, just given in a brand new way, much grittier way than ever, are about equality, perseverance, etc. So same J-Hope, totally different side to him, really impressive. The interest in his music videos ought to come from the ways they subtly reference each other. In Arson and More, he wears the same outfit, but it goes from being pristine, untainted by his surroundings, to being dirtied and charred. Then there's the fact in Ego, he happily just drove his car into the sunset. But now the car is wrecked. Drumroll, please, for number 1. DPR Ian, Mood Swings Into Order. It'll probably be out by the time this episode is. I wrote a whole essay about this release and how blown away I was by it, so be sure to check that out. Shameless plug, howtostand.substack.com. I really was so blown away, though. He really, really tells such a captivating, intense story. First of all, he's bipolar. Someone very close to me in my life is bipolar as well. And it really helped me kind of understand her a bit more and the mindset of bipolar people and the extremes they go through, the ways they think in extremes, the ways they struggle to accept middle ground because it doesn't feel satisfying. Like they need to, they have this compulsion to go to one extreme over another and are not satisfied with leaving something be in the middle. The way he put it in a recent interview I'll link to on my site is like, I have to put the wings on fire. Like literally in his work, but also metaphorically, he can't just portray a fire or the wings. He has to show wings on fire. He has to up the drama. That's just how his mind works. Or it feels like he didn't finish the picture. It's a really successful way to show people what's going on in his mind, and he portrays his different sides as different characters. In this big, epic, spiritual, undertone-laden, monumental story, a battle for all ages and eras, It's mythological meets spiritual meets mental illness related meets just overall immersive and interesting. I've talked about this on the show before, I think. I don't know why, but I'm sure I applied it at some point to what I was talking about. Two of my favorite albums of all time are Jaden Smith's Sire and Iris albums, because those albums really flow into each other. Each song flows into the next one. So it's like one big, big song. Or like a musical audiobook, but one big immersive story. I love that in an album. It's missing far too much these days in the singles-driven music ecosystem. And I think DPR Ian's work needs to be appreciated in the same ways. There are actually points in this new album that remind me of Sire so much, like when he changes his pitch, so it's like a high-pitched voice in the background, or suddenly a really deep one, just like Sire. The way that he so quickly and seamlessly pivots to the next song, you forget that he is in the next song now, he moved on already. Just the flow, the seamless flow of the album, it's just something I miss a lot in today's releases. So I haven't heard an album I've liked as much as Sire, maybe since Sire came out. And it really is worth, you have to listen to it in order. All the songs in one sitting, back to back to back, to truly get the immersive, impressive experience. And the mental journey that inspired this work. And make sure you catch up on the visuals too. Very cinematic, and I will break down their symbolism in that essay. And make sure you study up on his world building, because his musical universe is not over. Part 1, Mood Swings in This Order, with the black album cover. Part 2 is this one, Mood Swings in Two Order, with a red cover. He said the third part of the trilogy will have a white cover and tell this backwards story, and my guess is it'll still have that MIDO acronym. So much more to come from him, but wow, his visions are just so brilliant and interesting. Again, I will link to more on him on my site and in the essay about him. Wow, what a talent. So underrated. I don't care if it's not technically K-pop or whatever. He was part of a K-pop group years ago, but he's been doing his own thing for a long time. Anyway, whatever label you want to put on it, it is work I really had to stop and appreciate a lot. So thank you for letting me rant about that. Let's dive into these honorable mentions now, in no particular order. A-Pink finally has a new subunit, A-Pink Chaboom, and they released a 3-track EP, Copycat. I like that they debuted a subunit with such a unique concept. The copycat mimicking each other, because it's just two of them, and they really do, they try to look alike. Mirror each other's dance moves in the most impressive scene of the video. Their voices really do, on these songs, intentionally meld together like one person is singing. Truly, they just aced the assignment. They really nailed this concept, took it to the extreme. Love the quirkiness and the commitment. They also kind of have this meta moment on Feel Something when they're saying things like, one and only real me. As always, I have to make a SpongeBob reference. It's like they're doing the I'm the real Mr. Krabs scene. Anyway, so it's an intriguing potential rivalry they could have. Not just partners in crime, but maybe turn on each other. I can picture a whole movie or TV show with this premise. So lots of interesting, unique traits about this subunit's debut. And the music video is confusing. So feel free to share with me your interpretation, because it seems to me like the plot is they are trying to escape the world inside your TV. Like it's a living place and they're stuck in the TV. And every time they escape, they somehow get zapped back into the world in the TV. If you have a different interpretation of the main plot, let me know, because there's also the hospital subplot, what looks like an escape from the asylum. They have this scene where they're kind of taunting security cameras at the pool. There's a lot going on here, so feel free to enlighten me with your own theories. Speaking of theories, I have a lot of them about Monsta X's new song, If With You, which they released for the Universe app. And even though it's just kind of a not official comeback release, just a single released on the side for Universe, I think they added some Easter eggs that apply to their classic music video universe as well. Hyunwon's back at the bus stop, if you know, you know. There's time travel or time freezing referenced. The painting on the wall behind Juhani seems to have that glowing orb from the All In video. Or maybe it's just a weirdly colored moon, but the resemblance seems intentional. Also because Minghyuk also walks by that same painting alone in a different scene. I would also like to note that the clock on the wall says 5:14, which is their debut date, May 14th. That was really cool. They had 514 in a lot of videos. They did before with the auction, sign and gambler. Someone held up a 514. Always look out for that. Must X also released an English single this month with Sam Felt called Late Night Feels. Very quirky video where they basically keep getting zapped into this alternate world where all of a sudden their monotonous lives are interrupted for this pajama dance party. It's a lot of fun and such a fun disco pop jam. The video matches the fun of the song. Iris, I-R-R-I-S, who are actually the group Red Square but rebranded as Iris, made their debut, and I do think they've totally leveled up compared to their Red Square days. The title track Wanna Know was actually worked on by Iconic Sounds, who previously worked on BTS songs, EXO, Seventeen, Heavy Hitters. If Wanna Know isn't for you, you can still check out and might enjoy the consoling post-breakup song Bye Bye or the electronic guitar-filled Stay With Me. SF9 really went for the 100% summery comeback with their new album, The Wave of Nine. Shout out to Zuho, who wrote four of the songs on there, and Hwiyeon, whose first self-written song of theirs is on this new album, Butterfly. Also, I don't know if this was intentional, but feel free to interpret it that way. The new song OK OK, was that meant to bring back thinking about OK Sign from a previous era? Because now they have a song OK Sign and OK OK. Are they meant to be related songs, or am I really just trying to read too much into things as usual? You never know. Super Junior also went for a super summery vibe with Mango. Very fun, warm, bright color palette that really helps accentuate that summer vibe of the funk pop bop. Hyolyn's new mini album, Ice, is centered around that key word that inspired the comeback. She said she wants to represent how she has this very cold, confident exterior, but she really melts easily and shows her inner warmth. And she does show those two sides of her in the No Thanks video. Very, very confident, impressive choreography, very bold, bright, eye-catching outfit. Love the rainbow dip dye bob. And then, of course, the curly extensions, the half-up, half-down hair look. She really gives quite the hair makeover lookbook. She shows off her ab tattoo. She's just very classically confident, and the track is too. But she also just shows who she is in her layers with the other songs. And she wrote and composed all of them, by the way. One of my favorite details about this release is the Sistar reference, I think. Because she has a Shake It lyric. She says shake it and no thanks. I'm pretty sure that was a Sistar wink. Blitzers are back with what they kind of consider the third in a series with Window. They started with Check In, then Seatbelt, and now Win-Do. At least they're not giving up their hyphenated titles. But anyway, their new title track, Hit the Bass, is a hip-hop jam, lots of rapping, and five of the members worked on it. The video was actually shot in Pakistan, and the sound effects in it were inspired by the movie Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. The suspense in the album is built up quite nicely with the first couple songs, which matches the gradual increase in intensity of the story itself. They view Check-In as like the starting line, Seatbelt was the warm-up period. Window is the journey itself. All the prep for the journey is done and was done in the past few releases. The most vocally impressive and emotional, I would say, is Gradation. The guitars take a turn for the less plucky, more dramatic, and the percussion from the previous songs has slowed down by then. It's one of the more distinct songs on the album. High Key have returned with Run. Run is great, but I do like Catch and Release too. Definitely for fans of Ginga Minga Yo by Billy. Very bouncy, chant-filled fun. I love that for Run, they actually released a video doing sign language for it and learning sign language just to sign the lyrics to Run. Very cool. Would be cool for idols to normalize doing that. There is an adorable new girl group called CSR, which is short for Chosaran. It's the Korean phrase for first love. Their debut release is really all about that, the feelings of first love. They've described it as a youth movie about first love. So it's kind of a high teen, first big crush tribute mini album. And it is so cute. It feels light and fun, like they really are, bringing sound to the feelings of falling in love. Speaking of light and summery fun, VVs are back with Summer Vibe. They go for a bunch of different types of dance pop and synth pop. They have Siesta, which has these 90s bass riffs. There's a retro dance song in Love Aid. a deep house song in Love, 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 a nostalgic song on Hashtag Flashback. There's the dance ballad called Dance. It's an interesting range, but still very cohesive. But I still wonder, why do so many K-pop acts have songs called Siesta that are really lively? Like, do they remember siesta means nap in Spanish? And they're out here singing about their nap as if it's a dance party. I don't know, just saying, it's kind of funny. Nicole from Kara is back. Her first solo release in 8 years came out. Side note, she actually said at a press conference for it, she revealed that Kara members have, quote, been talking about a possible reunion for months now, unquote. That would be really something. Now that's something for KCON's 10th anniversary, don't you think? Her new song is clever. It's called UFO, Y-O-U-F-O, meant to represent a UFO, and the phrase, you will find your galaxy. The lyrics are about falling in love, so it's a groovy song about trusting what is meant to be in love will be. And the video is very aesthetically pleasing. She intentionally made it full of light blue for this calming effect. Speaking of girl group members gone solo, Soonhee from Wonder Girls released her own album, Genuine. She shows off some real vocal prowess on these dramatic, lower tempo songs. She shows off her vocal range and skill really well. But then she has the faster, deep bass-fueled Just a Dancer, which gives off major BoA vibes. We love. WJSN released Sequence, which is very aesthetically pleasing of a video. Very colorful and cool. Shout out to Dawon and Yejun, who both composed Stronger, a duet. Congrats to all on Done. You have inhumanly high vocals. Very impressive on that. The ballad Stronger is well done. Or is actually the song that led to their Queendom win. Very glad it's given the album treatment now. It's a turn for the more dramatic on this album for sure. Nicely done. Let's talk boy bands now. The J-pop group OWV is back with Timejackers. That's my favorite song on there. Great title track choice. But there's also a pop ballad, Alright. And there is a party ready, really fast upbeat, Summer Days. That's kind of unpredictable. It has moments where it just tones down the frenetic energy unexpectedly. So it's a lot of fun. Unite returned with UNIQ. The Aviator video, so pretty. The purple and yellow color scheme, plus their group formations are super cool. The best B-side, the hip-hop focused Swish. But I also love the very cute, wholesome Come Around. And I Like You. Look, it's all really cute. At long last, MCND has returned with The Earth Secret Mission Chapter 2. See, that's what they can say. If people are like, where have you been for an extended break? They can say we were on another secret mission. We couldn't tell you. Nice excuse. Anyway, it's an interesting story auditorily. There are spaceship sounds and other sound effects in the background that permeate the release. Their storyline stays in your memory because they say things like, on Red Sun, Ice Age is over. So they're pretty explicit about moving on to a new chapter of their secret global mission. The most jump-worthy, jump-along-worthy, is Juice. New boy group ATBO debuted with The Beginning. There are a lot of groups who sing one after the other, individually. Like, members sing one at a time. They don't all share lines and sing together as one. This group does, which I think is one of the things that gives them a lot of potential and makes them stand out. They also stand out for being hands-on already in their work. Bae Hyun Jun actually contributed to three of the tracks on here. And Oh Jun Sook said he actually revised his contributions to Monochrome like 20 to 30 times. They've really been hard at work on this. And you can see the thought they put into their origin story of sorts with the intro video for this group, where the narrator tells a story of living through this bleak, literally black and white world, and kind of Wizard of Oz style, adding color to it. Finding a way to see a bunch of magic all around them, and bring the things they only see when they close their eyes into the real world, from dreams into what they can see when they open their eyes. It's all about manifesting color into their monotonous life. Lots of directions that story can take them in. NCTU are finally back with another NCT Lab song, Rain Day. This one is Kun, Tail, and Yang Yang. Shout out to Kun for actually producing and composing it. It's his first time producing an official NCT release. Shout out to Junie as well, who helped produce and write it. His interview's up now at howtostand.substack.com. Shameless plug. This mid-tempo R&B sound works well with the chill vibe of the video. You just see their fun summer day, watching fireworks, hanging out with a cute dog, chilling by the lake, riding their bikes. But the song is quite sad and wistful about someone who is listening to the radio, hears a song that reminds them of a past love, and then gets stuck on memory lane. Wu Jinyan once again brought his A-game to a solo release, Delicious. Really standout sound, Delicious sticks in your head, that flute is hard to forget. He takes a more laid-back turn and a focus on singing instead of rapping on lip balm. And then he sings a song that clearly shows he did his homework, with a lot of K-R&B artists coming to mind throughout. As you listen to it, you're like, oh, I detect hints of insert artist here, and insert artist here, and insert artist here. He did his homework, drew a lot of different influences, clearly. Some releases, honestly, I'm recommending for the music video more than anything else. There's An Ye Un with Rapvolution. I'm not sure how I feel about it, honestly, but it's really intriguing. It's one of those videos you keep watching just because you're compelled to, because it's so bizarre. Like, I don't know what I'm watching. Not even sure if I like it, but I'm still watching. Her Rapvolution is kind of The Walking Dead meets a rat theme story. I don't know. Very one of a kind. And if you're looking for more out there quirky videos, you should also check out Hookah by Dal Subin. Rothy has an interesting video for Changed Number. Because at first, you end up feeling sorry for this guy who seems really smitten with her, really lovesick, really hoping to win her over. But quickly, as an audience member, you become angry at him instead of feeling bad. Because no matter what, he just will not leave her alone. He won't take no for an answer. He's relentless, despite Rothy's very, very, very clear indications she wants him to go away and changed her number to get him off her back. In a happier love story, KB from Only One Of released a bop, Be Free, that honestly it stands out more the more you listen to it. So at first you might just think it's catchy, but after a few more listens, you're like, oh, it's catchy, and very memorable. It's a really nice, sweet, romantic story in his video. Bumkey's new video, featuring Ananda Light and Gianni for Endemic, a must-watch. There's an adorable little boy in it who not only steals the show just in the music video, but steals the show in the song itself, because his cute little kid voice sings parts of the song too. So it's really just a fun feel-good release. Another feel-good release, seeing an iconic duo finally come back together, Huasa and Loco for Somebody, which is basically Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, only better. They just have such talent and such a weird, in a good way, very distinct, unique chemistry that comes alive when they team up. Very excited for the return of it. Another iconic collab, BoA and Shin, Better, the Chinese version. The video really touches on some interesting recurring symbols that tie into the whole Kwanya story, SMCU, etc. But it's also just a great time to release it. Because honestly, when Better first came out, I just thought it was okay. It was really okay. Nothing about it really made me think, this stands out. Just another pop song. But now, it's really growing on me more, and that's why I think it's actually, marketing-wise, really smart to release a different version in a different language with a new video way later than the original release. Because people might be like, why now? Why release a better version of Better all these months later? Actually, I think it was very smart, because if they had released the Better Chinese version, Japanese version, etc., the same time as the OG Korean version, I would have never checked out this video. I would have never checked out the other versions. I would have heard one, thought it was just okay, and moved on. This forces you to revisit it and see the song in a new light and realized it aged well. Sean, S-I-O-N, released a new EP, Love, and the new single Comedy has a really interesting video where he's basically delivering a comedy, a stand-up performance, and starts describing this date he had. And so you see him very just over-the-top, jokingly, exaggeratedly act out how the date went, with a bunch of props and random dance moves and things that don't really make sense. So the whole video is kind of a flippant tone. But then, it ends on a really tender note when it's a comedic video for a song called Comedy, of course, so don't take it too seriously when he takes the audience hostage, literally like tapes their mouth shut and ties their hands behind their backs. But then he walks up to one of the audience members, who's now his hostage, and it's this date he's been talking about. And he rips off her hair, and we find out it was a wig, and it may not be a her at all, but it's someone with a lot of makeup that is now running down their face from tears. And all he does is just reach down to hug this person. So it went from a story where he painted this date of his as a disaster that left him feeling just so confused and angry. And it ends with this tone of just acceptance of just, I hope you're at peace with yourself. It's a really sweet, interesting, thought-provoking story that stays with you. Now for a super lightning round of more honorable mentions. Keep your eyes on Dreamcatcher's YouTube channel. They continue to release solo videos for songs off their newest album. Hondone's Winter is the latest. BTS have an adorable new animated video for their new OST, Our Island. Anna Suzuki has a gorgeous rainbow of colors spread out quite tastefully so as not to be overkill in the video for Magic Times Color. ITZY, the artist ITZY, has a new video for Forever My Baby. Lots of cute puppy close-ups there. Onechu, Onechu, has a new dance version out of Oasis, where they rock gorgeous white dresses. TWICE released their new Japanese album, Celebrate, full of pop bops, my favorite at the moment, Sandcastle. And the title track video is so cute, a very fun, lucky in love, celebratory feel. Billy teamed up with Yoon Jeonshin for Pat Bingsu, which is a very interesting mix of aesthetics and vibes between them. Great Guys are back, and Blind Love tells a very dramatic, cinematic, and visually interesting story. Yoshiki Izaki is back with another banger in Toriyame with Fo. TXT and Ian Dior's Valley of Lies, really catchy, honestly, more than I thought it deserved to be. Like, it's a very morbidly funny song. Very Gen Z deadpan humor. Well done. Nam Soon Min has a really fun travelogue-style video for his trot song, YOLO YOLO. Jaekhyun and Marco have a really groovy bop, Mercedes feel. Jess Lee's new album, full of drama, full of emotion. Vincent Blue continues to just stun with his voice on Take It to the Grave. There's a groovy, honestly, potential Song of the Summer contender that will go underrated, but could be a Song of the Summer, in Woosung's and The Attire's Sriracha. Julia Wu has a new dreamy and dramatic song, Exist, or Existence. Sometimes the translation's a little off. Hoshi and Tiger JK teamed up for a song called Tiger on World Tiger Day. Adorable and iconic. ITZY teamed up with BBREXA for a really fierce, catchy song, Break My Heart Myself, that is kind of honestly relatable. Fameboy has a cool new pair of singles on an album called Rockstar's Love, and more of a glam rock angle for Cracksilver, CRAXILVER. Their new EP, Make a Dash, truly just a high-quality, experimental piece of rock music. I have a few quick best English releases of the month list that I just want to rattle off. Demi Lovato, Substance, 5 Seconds of Summer, Blender, Beyoncé's new album, of course, Renaissance, Bella Porch, Dolls, with my girl Grimes in the music video, Pele Royale's Fever Dream, came out on my birthday no less, and Easy Lover by Ellie Goulding and Big Sean. Let me know what your favorite new music is, so much to choose from. I will link to a playlist, YouTube and Spotify playlist, of all the songs I talked about today, including honorable mentions, through the article that corresponds with this episode that will be up at howtostand.substack.com. So make sure you subscribe. I'll make sure these posts are free. Thank you guys so much, and I will talk to you all again very soon. Bye, everybody. Happy listening.